I love technology. I just got a text from Denise. Yes, she's texting me, Denise Seaman, during church. If you see her, yell at her. It is to remind you that on Tuesday, August 11th, this Tuesday, from 6:30 to 7:30, at the Lead Activity Center outdoor track, there is a Bellevue Back to School prayer rally. So that is this Tuesday, August 11th at 6:30 at the Lead Center outdoor track. Thank you, Denise. Now pay attention. Do you all know who Waddy Piper is? You may not think you know who Waddy Piper is, but I have a hunch if you were a kid ever, or you've read a children's book, you know who Waddy Piper is. They're the author of the book, The Little Engine Who Could. Now, does everyone know the book, The Little Engine Who Could? All right, everybody get up. This is your time to get up and move around, right? What is The Little Engine? Leanne, you're the only one in Sharon who are listening. I know y'all can do better than this. What is it that the little engine says in the beginning of the book? He does his what? I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. Not bad, good, you can sit down. Does that little engine remind you of Peter as he steps out of the boat? Because that's exactly what came to my mind when I read this story of Peter trying to walk on water, the little engine who could. You know, it's a nice sentiment, I think I can, but does that mean if I pray hard enough, I'll get the soprano lead in Aida at the New York Opera? What do you think, Alice? Care to weigh in?
No.
You've burst my dreams right here on the spot. Or does it mean something else? As you read this story, and there's several different stories of Jesus walking on water, so keep with this particular story of Jesus walking on water. Have you ever stopped to ask yourself what the reason was for Jesus walking on the water across the waves to his disciples? I mean, there's a big wind of sorts, but the story doesn't really imply, not this one in Matthew, that the disciples were in any real danger or that they were looking for any help. Different gospel story of Jesus. Jesus apparently just feels like taking a stroll across the lake in the early morning to greet the disciples. Now, we're wise enough to know that no account of Jesus' life or his actions is ever placed in the gospels by accident or just to take up space. We can be sure that this story is placed here by Matthew to serve a very important purpose. Rest assured that just as Jesus' miracles of healing and feeding were done to serve the needs of others, his walk across the lake to his disciples' boat has a purpose, and it isn't just a rescue mission in a bad storm. Have you ever run into someone you know casually, like say a friend of a friend at the store? And you know that you know him or her, and you know what, with masks on these days, it really doesn't help. But you know that you know the person, but you can't place them. And because you can't place them, you don't have any idea what their name is. And afterwards, it dawns on you who they were. It's funny, but when you encounter someone out of context, you just can't identify them. Now, as familiar as the disciples were with Jesus and with what he looked like, and as light out as it was, because it was beginning to get light at this point in the story, at first they don't recognize him, and they think he's a ghost. It's only after he calls out to them and tells them not to be afraid that they realize who it is. Same thing, Jesus, out of his usual context, seems like a total stranger, or a ghost, as they put it to them. Now, at Peter's request, Jesus commands Peter. What does Peter say? Lord, if it's you, command me to step out of this boat and walk on water to you. At Peter's request, Jesus commands Peter to join him on the water, which is quite interesting. It's as if Peter still isn't really sure that it's Jesus, if not a ghost. So to have Jesus command him to walk on the water is a way to test if it's really Jesus. I don't know if I like that test, because suppose it isn't Jesus, what's going to happen to Peter? I don't know, bad test if you ask me. He says, Lord, if it is you, then tell me to come to you on the water. And once he's sure of Jesus' identity, he jumps right out of that boat onto the surface of that windy lake. The disciple leaps out of the boat, anxious to test his abilities as one of God's chosen. Because after all, God had chosen him and called him. But once he's in the midst of his discipleship experience and he's beyond the safety of the boat and he can't just reach back and get back in, he begins to panic. And instead of seeing Jesus, he sees only dark water and wind and waves that are all around him. Peter's own fears and doubts begin to pull him down, and he starts to sink. And just like we've learned to expect from good old Peter, he shows both foolishness and faith at the same time. Kind of like each one of us, huh? When he responds by crying out, Lord, save me. He doesn't have faith in the ability of Jesus to work through him. But he does still reach out only to his Lord for help in his time of doubt. And that's so typical of us as well, isn't it? To doubt God's ability to save us at times, but desperately calling out to him in our times of trouble. It's so human to be that way. Short of faith, but willing to grasp at anything in times of trouble. Now Jesus swiftly catches Peter by the hand, but he also chastises him. Peter's scolding is a message to all of the disciples, to those who already have faith. This is not a story of people who do not have faith, but those who do. Jesus accuses Peter of having doubt, not a lack of faith, but of having doubt. And they're not the same thing. I mean, that's well and good for the disciples, right? In the early light of that windy morning, Jesus comes to them, and by his voice, they recognize him. They know exactly who he is. And when Christ comes to us, unfortunately, more often than not, it's in an unrecognizable form. If only Jesus would show up dressed like and looking like the guy in the Sunday school picture with the robe and the nice long brown hair and the nice trim beard. If only Jesus looked like that when he came to us, we'd know, right? Truth is, you've probably encountered him at least once this morning already. Now, here's a scary thought for you to ponder this week. Where have you looked right at Jesus somewhere this week and never even realized who you were looking at? Like the disciples in today's lesson, how many times have we been given the opportunity to have a living, personal encounter with Jesus and yet failed to recognize his presence before us? How many times in the heat of feeling called by Jesus to some task does the way seem clear? Until the going gets a little rough and we begin to second guess if it was indeed Jesus calling us to a task or just some wishful and hopeful thinking on our part, like, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. Doubt, not lack of faith, is what sinks us every time. All of our best wishes and all of our deepest desires to serve God fall apart when we begin to doubt. Doubt if we're worthy of Jesus calling us and worthy of Jesus using us. That's when that initial joy of walking on water can be replaced by the doubt of our worthiness. That's when we begin to look around and notice the wind and begin to sink. You know, doubt is such a difficult thing to conquer. We tend to think of it as the opposite of faith. But that's not what doubt is. Doubt is having faith, but not being sure that it applies to you. Doubt is knowing and accepting that Jesus can heal, that he can forgive, that he can use even us, but being unable to personally accept that he can and will choose to do those things for us. Peter didn't doubt that Jesus could walk on water. Peter didn't doubt that Jesus could call others to walk on water. Peter doubted that Jesus could do that for him personally. And so he began to literally sink in doubt. Faithful in his belief in Jesus to save and to forgive those who need salvation and forgiveness, but unsure if that applied to him. Faithful in his belief that Jesus calls people to come and follow, but uncertain and unsure if that call really ever reached him. But isn't that the way we all feel and think and act sometime? Sure in our faith, but sometimes even surer in our doubt. So what keeps you from recognizing that unexpected Jesus? Is it fear that keeps your eyes from seeing Jesus when he appears walking on the waters of your life? Fear of stepping out of the boat into a new place in your life because you're not sure that you really heard Jesus' invitation to come and join him on those troubled waters of your life? Or is it not being sure once and for all if you fall into that category of forgiven or unforgiven? Do you doubt God's ability to use even someone like you? Does that doubt make it hard to leave the safety and security of your little boat and see what walking on the calmer waters of faith might be like? You remember that old show, Candid Camera? I don't know, you can probably catch it on reruns every now and then, where people were secretly filmed having crazy encounters with people doing really odd and bizarre things, or in situations where the really unexpected happens. As Christians, we are at our best when we live with the belief that we are always on Candid Camera. When we least expect Christ to be present in our lives, that's where he is. When we least expect Christ to be there in our lives, that's where he appears. And most likely, we will never recognize him in a million years. Trust me on this one. Whether walking on water or rowing the boat, he will appear and challenge us to step out of the safety and the security of our ordinary life and invite us to take a stroll with him on the waters of that stormy sea. And I say yikes to that. But can I learn to say, okay, let's go for it? That's the real question. It's so easy to say, yikes, no, not for me. I'll stay here. But can we say, okay, let's go for it? Now, leading up to this story in Matthew's gospel is the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus, and that's immediately before this story, where Jesus invites us to join in feeding his lambs alongside him. And maybe this story of the boat takes place right after the feeding of the 5,000 because it's a logical extension of that story. When we learn that what is impossible for us to do by ourselves becomes very possible with Christ by our side helping us, it's only logical that we can then step out of the boat of our average, ordinary lives and learn to walk out onto the stormy seas of our fear and our doubts, trusting that somewhere out there, Christ is waiting for us and leads us into new tomorrows of faith. You know, sometimes I think that we've been too conditioned to expect that Christ will appear to us in power and glory and leave no question in our minds as to who he is, like those Sunday school pictures. If that guy walked in the back of the church this morning, I'd say, "Hi, Jesus, I recognize you." White robe, sandals, and our doubts will be wiped away once and for all. And we'll respond in faithfulness because we'll know that he stands before us and calls us to follow. But here's the unsettling truth. Is your faith big enough to recognize Christ when he appears before you? That ever-transforming and transformative Christ who calls on our faith to recognize his presence in our lives, whatever the surprising or unexpected shape he takes. So when or where will you encounter Jesus in your life today? And when you do encounter him, will you know it? And even if you aren't 100% sure that it's him, how will you respond? Discipleship means living one day at a time as though Jesus was right here with us, near in time, near in place, the one who witnesses all of our motives, all of our speech, and all of our behavior. And that, indeed, is what he is. Smack dab in front of us, always, hoping that we'll notice him and respond. Okay, one more time. Stand up. Let's do our best little engine. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can, right? And you know what? You can sit down again. You know what? You're going to find pretty sure that thinking positive thoughts doesn't make it happen. Sorry, Joel Osteen and Norman Vincent Peale. Never did, never will. And I don't doubt that for a minute. Chug away. But you're never going to walk on water. And you can bank on that. Just as sure as I'm not getting that Emmy or Grammy or whatever the heck they give you for singing. Right, Alice? Remember, regardless of what you might think, doubt is not a lack of faith. It's a lack of trust. Doubt is knowing that in Christ Jesus all things are possible, but not sure that he's willing to do it for us. We're interested in spending the time and energy to allow us to conquer our doubts. See, Peter saw the problem as one of sink or swim. I step out of that boat, and one of two things happens, right? Bloop or walk. Finding the trick to walking on water for himself. And that's how we usually see the problem as well. We get a little too much like the little engine that could, thinking and believing that if we only try hard enough, we'll be going up that hill in the engine's case, or we'll be walking on water, or we'll be feeding 5,000 people in no time. We just got to try hard enough. But Jesus is there to remind us that it's not our inner power that needs to be tapped into, but his power, already at work in us that we need to recognize, to lift us up and keep our head above water. The little engine said, I know I can. You don't have to stand up. We're done. At the end of the book, he says, I know I can. I know I can. I know I can. And he did. And that's okay if you're a toy train in a kid's book. But it ain't okay for those of us in Christ Jesus. It just doesn't work that way. Better we should say, I know I can. I know I can. I know I can. I can do all things through him who strengthens me and lifts me and loves me and helps me and forgives me, who gives me what I need to answer his call to do what I think is impossible with even my life. Because God in Jesus Christ has called me to this work. Amen.